Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 975 and 925 713 780-3776. You got any thoughts recapping what we've talked about already?
The Rockets look pretty damn good starting about midway through the second quarter and through the end of the game, and they just slapped them. They slapped, but it was the Wizards, so. But you had a little Cam Whitmore drama, a little more Cam Whitmore drama as he stormed off the court, unhappy once again. Dude's just not a happy guy. He's just not happy. And I don't know that you're ever going to make him happy.
But you know what? He is a piece of a trade. Like, yeah. If you decided to make a trade. By the way, the Zierlein family, they don't speak for me. But my house is currently saying that they are done with Jabari. And they're on to Amen, and Jabari's done.
Amen. Listen, and somebody, Tony. Concept Tony, he put out there, he said, man, this Cam stuff is just not good because it's taken away from Amen. Because Amen is spectacular. And he's right. Amen is just Amen, I was watching last night and I'm like, Amen's going to be an all-star someday. Amen is going to be an all-star. And you know, that 95% of the NBA does not make the All-Star game because it's the same 5% every year. You got to be a superstar to make the NBA All-Star game. And Amen is going to be an All-Star.
So Amen plays like Dennis Rodman from the Pistons. Like, people won't remember that probably, or they just remember the crazy Rodman. Dennis Rodman with the Pistons is a lot like Amen Thompson now. Nonstop activity. Phenomenal rebounder, can defend multiple positions, can block shots, runs the court, it's can't shoot. Like, there's a lot of similarities between young Dennis Rodman, and he was a guy that completely altered games because of his energy off the bench. Like, he was a catalyst, he was a spark plug. And that's who Amen's game reminds me of, is like high impact defensive talent who finds points. He can't shoot, but he finds points, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so much fun. Like, he's a winner. He has winner DNA. And I've always felt that way. Winner DNA. It matters to him. The main thing is the main thing for him. Everything about him is exactly what you want in a locker room, on the court, and in big moments. He's going to make big plays.
That's where the Dennis Rodman analogy ends. Because you don't want Dennis Rodman.
Well, Dennis became, I'm talking about the player with the Pistons. I'm not talking about the guy. And by the way, Dennis was still a great player.
Listen, Amen is a better scorer than Dennis ever was.
Well, Dennis didn't try, really.
Well, but Amen has actual moves.
Dennis scored in college. Now, he played at a small college. But no. Dennis actually had, they say he could have been a much more, like, the point is neither one of them shoot.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis even stopped trying. I don't even know. I don't even remember what his shot looked like.
Amen can still hit a mid-range, and he'll hit a three every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rot. I mean, I agree on the analogy with the effort and the garbage stuff that he picked, that you don't have to run plays for him, that he does everything, defends
multiple positions, high energy.
All of that.
All that stuff is
He's got more offensive skills than Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I would say his offensive skills are a minus, though. But he's got potential. Like, he's just not a shooter. He actually, yeah, I'm probably being too hard on him. He can get to the paint. He can get to the rim and finish at the rim.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He's got, I mean, and it doesn't matter. He gets points.
Yeah.
He just finds them. So I'm not worried about him. You don't have to run anything for him, and he finds points.
Yeah. So we had that. We had Reed Sheppard scoring 49 last night. We had TGL, the Tiger Golf League, kicked off last night.
That's not, don't worry, guys. That's another
that's
thing.
Huge.
It's Squid Games for golf.
Huge. Doesn't get any bigger than that, than the Tiger Golf League. What else did we had? Justin Verlander. We haven't even talked about Justin Verlander going to the Giants. And because it's really, he's kind of just going to disappear now, right? Isn't it? That's it.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
How many games are you actually going to see Justin Verlander pitch for the Giants? And America is going to see him.
I'm going to say four. I'm going to make the total 14 and a half.
No. I mean, actually watch them.
Oh, I don't know.
He's going to disappear he's going to be in San Francisco. Oh, Justin Verlander's got a 4.24 ERA. That's great. Did you see it?
Why are you crapping on Justin Verlander? Did he do something to Jim Crane that we don't
know
about?
No. I'm just saying that's where you go to die, your baseball career.
Is it? Yeah. Is San Francisco a burial ground for old greats?
I mean, are you going to – what? They're not going to do anything. They're in the same division as the Dodgers and the Padres.
Actually, Houston's become where you go to die.
No.
Montero,
Abreu. Where you go to be in the postseason every year.
Zach
what are you talking about?
Well,
it's the exact opposite.
No, your career dies here, too.
Everybody sees the Astros every year
Your career dies here, too.
No. You're
starting to see some dead people. Ever since Bagwell got in there, I see dead people. They usually play first base.
You saw one dead person.
Yeah, I've seen more. I watched Yuli actually become almost a dead guy. And then he weakened Bernie'd it in the postseason. Like, hey, this is awesome. And then he's like, he was dead again. Abreu, dead.
Montero, dead. But he went to be a star in Houston. What are you talking about?
Montero,
it's where
dead.
Everybody hates.
Dead.
The most watched team ever. I mean, what are you talking about?
What do you want for? Are you getting some kind of lollipops for this? You're just sitting here cheerleading, and then you're crapping all over a guy who brought you titles?
I'm just saying. Is
anybody even going to care? He'll probably just go with a 4-2-4.
No one is going to
you
see
hit him with
him
a 4-2-4. You 4-2-4'd him.
He's terrible. It's terrible. Go to the Giants where nobody watches you. That's all.
Where do you want him to go?
Where do you want him? Did you want him here for another $33 million?
No.
Beat it. Get lost.
Thanks for kicking him to the curb.
I'm not kicking him to the curb. It was time for him to go, but I'm not going to wish him ill.
I didn't wish him
you
ill.
Wished a 4.24 ERA on him.
I said we're just not going to hear from him again.
I don't
That's
care.
All.
I don't hear from people who don't play. I don't hear from National League teams anyway.
Who hears from National League teams in this city?
Who's focused
on
them?
National League baseball?
Exactly right. And if you're in a National League team, then no one cares.
But if you're a Dodgers or Padres fan, you'll be paying attention. Oh, look, Justin Verlander. Hopefully he doesn't, produce a vintage performance against us. Like, the people who he will directly affect will care. We don't care. We don't play him. I don't know if they're on the schedule this year.
That's what I'm saying. Well, we don't care.
Well, Houston people certainly won't care. Well, they will, but it won't matter that much. People will want to tune in and see if Justin Verlander still has anything left because people remember him fondly here.
How about the big trade yesterday? Gray Kessinger for Matthew Linsky.
Who has more wins this year, the Giants or the Astros?
The Astros finished with 88 last year. The Giants had 80.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we kicked their ass.
Well,
no, I said, who's going to have more this year?
Oh,
based on
Astros,
what you know about your pitching
Astros
staff.
Will. The Astros will.
Well, I knew what you would say.
Yeah.
I knew what your answer would be.
That's all. Gray Kessinger for Matthew Linsky. Boom. Won a trade. Thank you. Matthew Linsky, former Rice product, Atascocita and Rice product.
Why did they win the trade?
Because we got Matthew Linsky.
What does that mean?
No one knows.
His dad was one of the guys who, with Vegas, Meyer Lansky?
No.
I think that's his grandpa, Meyer Lansky?
That was Lansky. And this is Linsky.
Spelled differently.
Oh, I thought it was Meyer Lansky's grandson. Okay, yeah, that's different.
This is Linsky, and he pitched with the Owls. What? And And he pitched to the Tascasita. What?
What yeah. does that mean as far as his nothing. His performance with the nothing. Astros?
No one nothing. Knows. No
one I always knows. Hear, they got a hometown boy. Everyone gets so excited when somebody played high school baseball here. Like, well, hometown guys made it back.
Yeah. With the, oh, yeah. We got two of them, though.
What do I care?
I don't care about that.
See, get people Nesky out.
And now Lindsay.
I know.
We got the Polish get, rifles coming
get
back.
Get people out is all I care. I don't care where you went to school. Just get people out. I mean, it's cool for people who went to school with them, and they can maybe get free tickets off of yeah, that player
at
or whatever.
At some point, I'm sure Julia Morales will interview the Linsky yeah, family. That'll be great.
Absolutely.
Thank
but
you.
Get guys out. I don't care about the yeah. the moment on Space City Home
here's
Network
a picture
where they get to talk
his,
to his mom.
Here's a picture of him in his prom outfit with his date.
Well, bring great. Polish flags to the game now. We got Linsky and Wisniewski, okay? We're going to have we got the Polish rifles. That's what we're going to do.
I don't think see? That's what they're called.
I don't think that at all.
Well,
no one has the Polish gimmick. 1970s called.
Bring
they want their Polish
the
gimmicks
game.
Back.
Bring kolaches.
Kolaches are Czech. They're not Polish.
Same thing.
He's Polish.
They're
so,
not
no,
the
they're
same
not
thing.
The same.
Close.
No, no. In the state of Texas, you don't say stuff like that.
What's wrong with you?
I just in Chicago, you're, much bigger Polish.
You're crapping all over Justin Verlander, and then you're calling, and you're not, and you're disrespecting the Czech community.
He's in L.A. He thinks he can get away.
No,
with
man,
it's
just real flagrant out
the
there.
The
in L.A.
Polish communities had kolaches too. It's not just Czech.
Here in Texas, it's Czech. It's a Czech bakery.
It's not.
No, it's not middle. Polish. It's Czech.
It's
stop. You don't want to do this.
Thing.
It's Czech. Easter. Ask everyone. In the Hill Country, ask everyone in Rosenberg. That's all Czech. It's Czech.
Well,
we're not Polish
that's
here.
That's all you had in Chicago.
Dangerous
that's all
ground.
You had was
we're
Polish
not in
people.
Chicago. We're in Texas. Well, we're in Texas.
We're in Texas. He's
you've
in,
gotten so flagrant now that you're in California.
He's an L.A. guy.
It's
we
like
know.
You're talking about Poland and in Texas. What are you
Polish
doing?
Rifle?
Polish
rifle?
About
Polish rifle. That's right. That's right. We got two of them coming back.
Do they want to be called rifles? Do we know that to be the case?
They've got guns, arms, Dell.
Who? Okay, we'll see what those arms look like. Pop guns.
Oh, my God. Now you're being
disrespectful. I hope they're not.
Yeah. Garrett was asking how Abigail is.
Which Abigail?
Sick.
Abigail Dye? Because I get asked about Abigail Dye on my show.
Who's
does
that?
She know, does
she
know
works
who
Fox,
the...
I think.
Does she know who the 2024 ESPN Donut Eating Contest champion was? That's what he's looking at.
Is that who he is?
Yeah, he's the one that beat Irv.
Oh, is he basically trying to say, what's up, girl?
Is he shooting a shot?
Yeah, that's what he sounds like.
So what are we supposed to do? Give her his information? What does he want?
Yeah. I think there's nothing that our young Abigail would like more than to hook up with a donut eating
woman. So while he was stuffing his face with donuts and she was actually there, he didn't try, but now he wants to now?
Maybe she was checking him out while he was wolfing down donuts.
You don't know.
Perhaps.
You don't know if she was eyeing him.
Perhaps if he saw that he was being eyed by her, he should have made his move when she was in his presence, not 2 weeks later going through us.
Oh,
if
no.
I'm going to give the young man any advice, when the girl is standing in front of you, how about you talk to her then?
Well,
how
scary. About this? No, you're playing the shy way. Sometimes you get it that way, Del. Okay? I'm just really
You know
really
what
shy.
I would
Sometimes
advise?
Sometimes you
then,
get it that way.
You know
then,
what I would advise
swoop,
going forward?
And then you swoop in.
Don't go through her coworkers and say, hey, I saw you at Nick's place while I was eating donuts. You want to talk to me?
Did you know I won a title?
Yeah, I'm the donut-eating champion.
You ever dated a champ?
Yeah. Perhaps, if you see her standing there, don't sign up for the donut-eating contest and have a conversation.
No. You got to prove that you got
They say
got
she's sick right now, so she doesn't want to hear any of this. She's sick.
She's sick?
Are you Abigail sick? Yeah, there's a lot of people here in Texas where we've got a lot of sickness right now, John.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of stuff going around here in this state.
There was a lot of stuff in this house that was sick this past weekend. Don't worry.
Man had glazed donut frosting in his nostrils, and he's like, hey, can you remind her what I did?
That's right. I'm the champ. Tell her about the champ.
The champ is here.
I'm telling you about ProDunk. That's what I'm telling you about. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com. If you're looking for the best way to get that basketball goal in the backyard, what? There is one way, and it's ProDunk. ProDunk is the premier, the best goal that you can possibly have. We had one. The guys came, installed it, and they put the concrete in, man, you want to talk about the best installation. There was no movement in that pole, no movement on the – it's just perfect. But then you raise – we had a crank where you raise and lowered it. Now it's just a button, zzz, and it raises and lowers. And I'm going to tell you this, the kids love it. They want it, Dad. This is what they want. They don't want that gold that's going to be moving all over the place. They can't raise and lower a 10-foot gold. They'll never be out there playing. The goal is for the kids to be out there playing, getting good, having fun, being where you know they're going to be, okay, in your driveway as opposed to on the couch or at somebody in somebody else's driveway. You want them home. You want the whole neighborhood at the house. That's how great it is because they will be. ProDunk.com. Best goal ever, ProDunk.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell. So we got a bunch of stuff that we talked about so far. One thing we haven't talked about is Hunter Brown. A piece came out here. This is Brad Wakai. He did a piece on Hunter Brown, and he may be right. Last offseason, Hunter Brown may have been amenable, and I think he was amenable, only the Astros, I can't blame him. He had a 4.60 the year before spring training. Did you know that Hunter Brown was going to be the Hunter Brown that we had last year? No, you didn't know that. They might have been able to do a long-term deal extension for him so he wouldn't hit free agency, much like the one that they did with Altuve and Bregman and Jordan. They might have been able to do that with him last offseason. This offseason, nope, not so much. He's a ways away from becoming a free agent, but, you know, the Astros love that deal after a couple of years with the team. You know what? Let's add 5 years on to the end of this, and, you know, and so you're a Houston Astro for a while. And that's just not going to happen. I think you're going to get your 6 years now out of Hunter Brown. He's going to be the next case. Who do you feel like you're more comfortable with giving a long-term contract to, him or Fromber?
Well, I think Brown is cheaper. Long-term 6 years? That's as long as we go, so.
Yeah.
I guess you assume 6 years.
Or even 5 years. I mean, you did McCall. I mean,
I would say Fromber would be more like five, and Hunter. Well, even Hunter, you don't know for sure, yeah. So you don't want to do six.
Well, which one do you feel more comfortable with?
Well, I feel like I'm going to probably get my money's worth out of Fromber. That's been pretty consistent for four years, 5 years now.
But he is 30 now.
He's older, but he's also not 31. He's not a power pitcher, so I don't think that's really going to matter. I think you're going to – what he does is, you know, he's a breaking ball pitcher, so I don't really think age really matters that much for him. But Hunter Brown pitched at a really high level last year. Like, that looks like a guy who's now locking in as a one or two in the league. So I think Hunter – I think you got more leverage on Hunter Brown, so you can get a better deal for him.
No,
I
mean, no, you don't. I mean, Hunter Brown is saying, I'm going to free agency. You ain't got no leverage on me.
Well, even if you don't, I still think Hunter Brown doesn't go for as much as a Fromber does on the open market.
I don't know, because he's going to be younger when he hits the market.
He's younger, but Fromber's is a known quantity. Like, Fromber's a now player.
I know, but you know, I just don't feel like Fromber gets the
same. You don't feel like it, but go look at the numbers. They all say Fromber.
I don't feel like he gets the same
But how would you know? He's never been on the market.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean,
we'll
go look at where he ends up in MVP voting. I mean, Cy Young voting. Go look at his numbers. Fromber, you can feel any way you want, but Fromber has been rock solid since COVID.
No, I just don't feel like he's going to be appreciated in the open market.
But I mean, but why do you say that?
Because,
well, like, what's what makes you say that?
Because he's not a strikeout pitcher. They are they are coveted more. I mean, when you look at lists that these that I mean, I know it's baseball writers, but there's a lot. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on out there. Framber is rarely at the top of anybody's
list. What
would
the team say, though? Teams are going to see a left-hander who is left-hander who has been incredibly consistent, a guy who can get out of innings because of his ability to generate double plays and ground balls, and he's a guy who's been wildly consistent. Like, he's just been...
No, I agree. I think Framber's great.
Yeah,
I don't think he commands on the open market what, you know, high profile, big arm, strikeout pitchers get. He just doesn't. He just doesn't.
But you're just thinking that. You don't have any. You don't really.
We'll see.
If he goes, but you don't have any. What I'm saying is, this is just something you think is maybe the case because you don't see his name mentioned that much. But the reality is, Major League Baseball teams would see a number one who's a left-hander, depending on your either a good number one or a great number two, for a guy with major with World Series experience, who has had a Cy Young caliber year before, and has been like. There's almost nothing that you would point to a Framber. Now, you could pick at his whip numbers because he doesn't give in and he puts too many people on. But, I mean, if you look at Hunter Brown has had most of 1 year good. The rest of it has been, and he had a good run his rookie season. He had a really bad time in between there. I don't think there's a world where Hunter Brown would get more than a Framber. Although I would be more willing, maybe, to invest in a Hunter Brown just because I'd be willing to bet on the upside. If Framber is who he is, it's not getting any better.
We just had a left-hander who isn't a giant strikeout guy in Max Fried go for 218 over 8.
Yeah, and Max Fried, I would argue, if you look at the numbers, Hunter has been more. I mean, Framber has been more consistent. But I would actually say they're pretty close. Like, that's actually a good comp, and that's 218 over 8.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what he gets. I don't know.
I don't know that he gets to the open market. I think he gets traded potentially.
Oh, okay. Well, he's going to get to the open market either way.
Well, not unless you trade and somebody trades for him and they do a deal with him. But the whatever deal's getting done is probably going to be $25 million plus. I mean, that's the market.
Yeah.
For good left-handers, and he's a good left-hander by any and all accounts, and 30, how old is Framber right now?
He's 31. He's going to hit the market at 32.
That's not old for pitchers anymore.
Yeah. We'll see. God bless. I mean, God, if he can get that. I know the Astros ain't giving him that. Not at 32 years old. No way.
Why? They paid more for Greinke and they gave more to Verlander.
I don't know.
And they were way older. So why could he not get $25 million a year?
Is he in the Verlander class? I don't know.
I would say right now he's better than Verlander right now.
Well, right now.
Yeah.
Not when Verlander got here in 17.
Verlander had 2 years he didn't even play. I'm not talking about 17. Verlander got three contracts. They took over a contract. He got two more contracts with the Astros. I don't think there's any, like, I think you're being rough on your Framber evaluation. Framber's pretty damn good.
No, Framber's really good. I would say he's a top 10 pitcher in the league.
Cy Young 11, Cy Young 5, Cy Young 9, Cy Young 7. That's pretty good. MVP 15,
that's what I'm
MVP
saying.
20.
The dude had he's had what he was started the All-Star game, and he still only finishes 7th. That's exactly what I'm saying. He should be up there. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think he's appreciated nearly as much.
My argument is baseball people who follow numbers and these decisions in free agency, frankly, are made more consistently based on numbers and advanced analytics. And I think Framber Valdez lands pretty high on a lot of different categories for teams. And he's got he's got big time experience in the postseason.
Yeah.
And he's a lefty. You know, he's a lefty whose ERAs look like this. 314, 282, 345, 291 the last 4 years. 22 games, 31, 31, 28 starts.
I won this argument. JG is correct. Framber-type pitchers don't get paid the same as Hunter Brown-type pitchers.
What is Hunter Brown? You mean guys with 1 year?
strikeout pitchers.
No, but you can't say Hunter Brown type. Whoever said that is wrong. Hunter Brown has to do more than 1 year. First of all, he has to have more than 1 year. Hunter Brown was damn near out the door the year before. Or was it earlier this year?
Well, it was last season.
He was bad early.
He was bad early, right?
2024.
Well, yeah, this year. I mean,
look at what he did.
Look at his numbers this year, and he put up a 9 spot in the first inning against Kansas City. So, yeah, Hunter Brown was spectacular this year.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
No, that was this year. Yeah, it was this year where he was so unbelievably bad. We were talking about him going to the minor leagues, and his turnaround was one of the best turnarounds I've ever seen for a pitcher in a single season.
Right. Well, now, Underdog, if you could turn it around at Underdog.
Yeah, and Underdog Fantasy is they want you to take advantage of what they're doing for the playoffs right now. So you got playoff football. So we got NFL and college football playoffs. You know, while you're watching those games, why don't you take a look at the touchdowns, the receiving yards, the receptions, longest carry, rushing yards in the first half. When I tell you that there is a wide variety of statistics to choose from, when it comes to Underdog Fantasy, I really mean it. Like, you can go find a soft statistic and you play either higher on it or lower on it. Maybe they're overvaluing. And so you say, I'm going to go lower. That's where a lot of the value is on Underdog Fantasy. So on Underdog Fantasy, you just pick higher or lower for these statistics. You pick two or more players and you have a chance to win good money up to 1,000 times your original play. The great thing is, if you go to once you download the app and use promo code Lance, they're going to give you up to $1,000 in bonus cash. But here's what's really cool. They also have boosts that they have where they're boosting your profits and you can apply those to your picks. They have rescues where if a player gets hurt, I had this happen the other day with Washington and Jaden Daniels. If your player gets hurt, they will rescue it and they refund your money. And not only that, they give you a bonus offer for your player getting injured. So it's a way for you to protect yourself as well. There's a lot of cool things they're doing. They've got a double flex option where you can lose twice and still make money on your pick when you make a six-player pick on your pick'em. I mean, it's awesome what they're doing with Underdog Fantasy. Way better than the other guys because they're creative, and frankly, they give you a better chance to win money. Underdog Fantasy, use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance with you here. 713-780-3776. Josh Pate going to join us top of the hour. You college football fans, this is the place to be. We got some big games going on starting tomorrow and Friday. So that's going to be fun. We got 5 straight days of playoff football, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
And let's remind people, if you're out and about tomorrow night and Friday night, you can hear those games right here on ESPN 97.5. We are the home of the CFP playoffs here. So I know you guys, Friday, Thursday, you might want to do something. Just know we got you squared away. We got the games here for you.
Yep, we got them right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's do this Ryan Fitzpatrick thing. Another coach was dismissed yesterday, Antonio Pierce. There's 6 openings this offseason for NFL head coaches. Brian Flores is probably, I saw Bill Barnes there. Bill Barnes, what's his name?
Barnwell.
Bill Barnwell had his piece on NFL all the awards, and he had coordinator of the year, Brian Flores, for the Vikings. He did an unbelievable job. They're just great. And Brian Flores is a great assistant coach. Brian Flores was the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Fitzpatrick, played for multiple teams, well-respected, very intelligent guy. Here's what he had to say when asked about Brian Flores becoming a head coach in the NFL again?
Miami got rid of every good player they had. And it was the jokingly called the tank for two a year. But I'll tell you, halfway through that year, we hadn't won a game yet. And there was a shift in the way that he was approaching his job. He was likable. He was relatable. He demanded a lot out of the players, but he was also able to get the best version of his players. And I really appreciated him for that. But as his tenure went on in Miami, he kind of became unrecognizable. A lot of the staff he brought over from New England, that was where, you know, he cut his teeth in the NFL, was there for 15 plus years as an assistant. But I think he's going to have a really hard time. If you're interviewing him as a head coach, I think in the interviews, he'll be likable. He'll be relatable. But when people say, okay, give me somebody from Miami that coached under you as a reference so we can talk to them. I think he burned a lot of bridges there. I think he alienated himself from the entire staff. Instead of what you were just talking about, having the humility to ask questions, to collaborate, I think by the end of his time there, he became a dictator. He ruined a lot of those relationships that he built up through the NFL. And his ego grew so big that there wasn't any room for anyone else. And so that was why he got released at the end of his tenure in Miami. I hope.
Is that it? Are we back? Oh, okay. Are you there, John? What the hell's going on? Am I actually on the air right now, Dill? Okay. So John's not there. The sound just cuts off abruptly. I thought that was actually pretty interesting. That falls in line with what I heard about Brian Flores over there, and know some people in the front office, and it got pretty bad over there for him. And you know, it's like he's another New England guy. I don't know what it is about these New England assistant coaches. New England assistant coaches just become so dreadful as head coaches. They become brutal to deal with. Joe Judge was like that. Josh McDaniel was like that. You have Matt Patricia was like that. Bill O'Brien, Brian Flores. I don't know what it is where they think they have to be unlikable, or they have to be nasty and mean. I think there's a paranoia that has run through New England in the past. I think it kind of is. Bill Belichick keeps a super tight circle, and these guys learned under him, and they just, it's like no one can have their own personality. They all have little snippets of his personality. That's interesting that Ryan Fitzpatrick had all that to say, though, because that was pretty honest. That was pretty direct about the stuff you hear regarding Brian Flores. I think Brian Flores on paper certainly deserves another chance to be a head coach, but nothing's given. Like, you got to have a good interview process. You got to have a good assistant staff. That's one of the things when they do interviews for head coaches: who's your staff going to be? What is your staff going to look like? And so you have to already kind of have conversations with guys on other staffs. So that's something mm-hmm. that has to play out. And it is, like, it's pretty well known, Dell, about how contentious it got between ownership, front office, and Brian Flores. And that's never a great thing to have that in your background when you're trying to get a job.
Yeah, and it popped off in John's back. His power lost power, but he's back on the phone right now. It popped off before the year. It came back up because Tua did an interview, I think, with Dan Le Batard to sit down and discuss. He isn't a fan. I forgot how it came out, but he was not a giant fan of Brian Flores. And so that was part of the reason he was let go. Couldn't get along with the quarterback. People believe he stunted his development. So, also the ownership, as Brian Flores laid out, Ryan Fitzpatrick laid out, it wasn't just Tua. It was the coaching staff, and that went up to the executive branch as well. He just did not get along. And maybe, as he pointed out when he was asked about all this earlier before the year started, maybe that's changed. Brian Flores did address this early. Maybe that has changed, but he will have to answer those questions about what happened. You were a successful coach. You were coming off, a 10-win season, or maybe 9, and they still fired you. What happened there? He's going to have to answer those questions.
Well, I think Ryan because Patrick explained that pretty well. What happened there? You got can you stand the guy in the building? It's like all of the Lancer you're talking about, all of the Belichick guys. They see that way to do it, and that's the way to do it, and that's not the way to do it.
How is it still happening, John? Like, how is every single guy? How is there not one outlier? Is there one outlier that we're missing? Is there somebody we're not?
Are we calling Vrabel one of those guys?
Vrabel is affable, but he played there. It wasn't like he. I mean,
I think he
ingratiated in the coaching staff there for years.
I consider him a Belichick guy. Yeah, I would consider him. Maybe he's got some edge to him as well, but he's not as bad as the other guys.
Did he have a little power struggle with the GM too, and the GM got fired the year before he did?
Well, that was I heard that was not. I don't think that was. I thought that was the case, but digging around on it, apparently they got along okay. That wasn't a power struggle. Looked like it was.
They might have just fired him because they went 6-11. He never did coach under Belichick.
He never coached.
But, I mean, he played his entire career there.
Yeah, but his.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of consider him a Belichick guy. And he was there for the real core build-out of what the Patriot way was. That's why I kind of consider him.
Yeah, I guess. But just because you played for a guy doesn't mean if you're – I think it's different if you're on the staff.
He coached at Ohio State.
You had no choice where you're playing.
He coached at Ohio State in 11. I think that was like Fickell as an interim. And then he coached a couple more years under Urban, I believe. And then he came to the Texans.
Did you hear the story? He said under Urban, he said he saw Urban years later, and he goes, "Hey, how you doing? Yeah, good." And he goes, "Yeah, you know, I coached for you, Coach." And Urban had no idea he was on his staff. But did you see what they're doing with the Bears? Have asked Ben Johnson.
What?
The Bears have asked Ben Johnson for a leadership package. As opposed to every other coach that they're interviewing, they're asking them for what are you going to do with a quarterback package.
What is the leadership package?
What they want to know, because apparently Ben Johnson, you know, there's a lot of thought that Ben Johnson is the one that's telling everybody, nah. Well, there's some out there that are saying, well, Ben Johnson isn't a great interviewer. Ben Johnson, they're not sure, is going to be a great leader of men. He's just not built that way. He's just not that kind of guy. And so the Bears are saying, well, we want to know how you're going to lead this team as opposed to, we know you're good with quarterbacks. We want to know how you're going to lead this team.
I think it's a good question. I don't know how you answer that, though. Like, that's an interesting, right. I'm curious as to what they're looking for and what he comes up with. Like, what do you say? Well, we're planning on doing, we're going to do a bowling thing to start the year to bring everyone together. And then we're going to do a thing where we watch Remember the Titans. And
yeah,
then I'm
going to
hold guys accountable. I mean, it's things. You're doing things. Being a leader is like Dan Campbell, I think. It's having guys. It's D'Amico Ryans. I think now, you know, the accountability thing has been something that we've had questions about with D'Amico a little bit. But D'Amico also had his players back when the Azeez Al-Shaair stuff happened. Initially, he was not real, like, we don't teach guys to play that way. And then all of a sudden it turned into, we don't think he did anything wrong. Next question. You know, and he showed that he had his players back. Like, that was important for him probably in his own locker room to do that. So leadership is a fickle – leadership is sometimes it's not as easy to define, I think. But it is but I get it. Like, just because Ben Johnson calls plays, that doesn't mean he can be a head coach.
Yeah. Why don't you guys break here? And I'm in the dark. I'm total darkness here, and it's raining. There's not a. It's bad. It is bad here. The wind is blowing. I'm telling you, it is bad here. So you do Josh Tate, and I'll give me a call after that, though.
Okay.
We hope to hear from John later as he's going through his own personal apocalypse.
No, apparently so. Do we break it here?
Yeah.
I thought he was done, but now he's whining about not being checked on.
Yeah. You guys didn't even check on me, and here all these other people are checking on us in here, and sure enough.
You told me everything was fine, you had no issues, and you were playing golf today.
He was going to play golf.
No, not anymore. The golf course is closed. That's how bad it is here.
Poor guy. All right, let's go to break.
Fire's raging all over, and he's like, the golf course is closed. Can you believe this?
Bye. Well, Well, he did have a live to do, but I guess we're not doing that. We'll go to break and try to get back close on time, and hopefully we'll have Josh Pate here starting at 9.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, this is going to be quick. 713-780-3776. If you call in right now, we'll get you on right now.
No, we will not.
Well, but like in the next 10 seconds.
We legit have about 45 seconds to a minute.
10 seconds.
To get to your guy on time. Josh Pate has confirmed he'll join us at 9, which is less than 4 minutes away.
For those who missed it, John is, there's wildfires his in California. Although it's not affecting John, but...
Well,
this weather, I guess.
The wind.
Yeah, I think the wind. So they're having really bad wind and all that stuff. So he's got, he's been a little flagrant on this show today, but I don't think this is God punishing him. I just think it's,
you never know,
just bad wind.
I've been told.
He's like saying that our kolaches are Polish and not Czech. Like,
God's a vengeful God, Lance. You never know what he's in
on
right
now. He's very anti Fromber today. He's very anti-Verlander.
Yeah, this, he's talking down on all the pitchers.
He's talking down on like everything.
Great memories he's got from those guys. And he's just been talking down on them.
I mean, just threw him in the trash. Like, I don't know if anyone pays for Fromber. But Hunter Brown, that's special. Like, I would... Look, Hunter Brown, I love the potential of Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown hasn't even done it for one full year. He's got a 1.3 whip. His strikeout... He's a good strikeout pitcher. He's not an elite one. He's at, for his career, he's at 9.9 per 9 innings on strikeout. That's good. It's not in the 11s like Blake Snell, but that's fine. It's good. But he asked me, like, right now, if the Astros had a chance to extend Fromber 4 years for $100 million, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd add 4 years at $100 million in a heartbeat. He's 31. Big deal anyway. He's a contact pitcher. He's not – 31's nothing –
big deal.
Yeah, exactly, Gilbert. So I would 100% say if Fromber would take a 4-year deal at 25, because number one, it's still a very tradable contract. But number two, I mean, you don't know what's happening with the pitching staff. All these injuries, guys that can't come back. Fromber's been a constant. So I don't know. I'm not going to bat. Me personally, I'm not bad-mouthing Fromber. Valdez.
Yeah, and you don't mind his hair? Like, if he had untrustworthy
hair, you might. I mean, well, he does go back and forth on braids.
Which is odd, I feel.
It is. I think it's very odd.
But hey, it's a new generation. He's in the millennial category.
He is.
So I guess I'm a millennial.
Yeah, but you're just kind of, you don't really follow trends or try to do all that. Fromber, you're kind of a boring millennial.
Thanks.
You're an elder millennial,
I'm the upper. Thanks. I am boring. But you know who's not boring? Josh Pate. He'll join us when we come back. We got big CFP games to discuss, including the Longhorns versus Ohio State. We'll get to Josh Pate when we come back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.